that's entertainment with Michael and Fionnuala. Both of you, a very good morning to you. Michael, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Michaela. Fionnuala. Yeah. Thank you.
You just love her more than
close.
Me. Oh, it's not that. No,
good morning.
No, no. When she starts processing payroll, maybe, but until then. before we get started, off the back of your recommendations, your recommendation, I watched the Wham documentary on Netflix. It was a joy. I thought it was lovely.
Isn't Andrew Ridgeley an unbelievable person to think that he was 24 when he had that kind of like personal insight?
And genuinely, he was like, you know, I'm off the train here now. This is a George Michael train.
Yeah.
You've got nothing but my love
and
support.
He started the train. He drove the train for the first like 2 years, getting it up and running and through all the difficult times. And then once it got up and running, he kind of went, I thought it was lovely. There was a line in it where somebody asked him, because like, I mean, even that at 24... to have your, what at that time was your kind of less attractive, less confident, you know, friend, although best friend. And they kept saying to him, so when you leave and George has a solo career, which I have to say would be a little bit insulting all the time. And then he said, well, I hope to just do it with grace. And I was like, my God, that's just insight
and
for
a
young
so
man
well,
like that.
Well put together. And I know a listener last night talked about the source material already being out there. But the way it's structured in that, to all intents and purposes, both were sitting on two chairs beside each other. They even cut interviews whereby one was finishing the point. So, you know, if you didn't realise that one had passed on and the other hadn't.
And then I went
down the rabbit hole then of looking into George Michael's life post-Wham, which there was a great deal of success, but he just went completely off the rails. And he said then in a subsequent interview, or maybe it was at the end of that, that he missed his best friend. He didn't want to keep him in
After watching that documentary, that's what I was thinking as well. And I was watching it with my cousin and we were just saying, I'd say if Andrew Ridgeley had managed to stay in his life and apparently that was not Andrew's choice, and I'm not sure.
George Michael said in it that me to get where I have to go, the relationship completely has to change. Not just the Wham, but actually just their friendship was the impression I got from
his comments. I don't understand, but I know Ridgeley did try to as if we're best friends. It has been reported, better way to phrase it, that Ridgeley did try to get in contact with them at different times in his life, particularly, you know, when he had difficulties. Like you say, his professional career took off. Mm-hmm. His personal life, there was a lot of things that kind of kept coming up over the years, you know what I mean?
The stuff about, you know, meeting people in public, that come up a couple of times. But, you know, whatever. But it was definitely is the issues with drugs, because every other year in the noughties, he was coming foul of the police.
Yes.
He talked about massive cannabis usage. He was smoking 26 joints a day at one point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to have just a terrible impact on your well-being and how you can function, but also harder drugs as well.
He can make his own choices in life, but it was more the danger that he was putting himself in.
Yeah.
You know, particularly at certain times, and he just didn't seem to have much care for himself, self-care.
Was so driven to get to where he wanted to go. It was great, you know, it was crazy because he ended up in that situation because he sacrificed, but he just must have run out of his own, you know, directing himself. I don't know how to phrase it.
Yeah.
But he gave up everything that would have prevented that. But he thought he had to give that up to get to where he wanted to be. And he did get to that. But like everything, even Wham, it was fleeting. I mean, he didn't have a great deal of success. He didn't have a great deal of success at all in this century.
No.
Or is it from 2006 on, 2008 on? Do you know what I mean? He didn't really do very... But anyway, as I said,
Outside album, that's about the last time that you kind of think of him as being something
big. It's a really enjoyable documentary. It doesn't get in too deep. It doesn't try and educate you in anything.
Isn't Andrew Ridgeley's mom amazing?
Yeah. It just tells a story. And it just finishes with, and this is not a spoiler, about what Andrew went on to do, what Michael went on to do. You know what I'm on about? It doesn't try and it doesn't over focus on them, him post Wham, and it doesn't get into this sort of sadness. And like, it really is very well put together. It's I really find it quite uplifting in a way, because it was like, wow, they had so much fun and they split up on good terms and they had their last concert.
Mm-hmm. I know,
as you,
you
say,
don't
Ridgely was
it.
Able to take the hand of himself a bit, and it was just actually, wow, okay.
I know.
This is
I
not
just,
your typical story.
No, no, that's exactly it. I think that's exactly what it is. I think everybody should give it a watch. If you have any kind of memories of it at all, it'll bring back an awful lot. I know for me, the you know, just some of the little videos and the shorts and that kind of thing that you used to wear. And wow, you just remembered yourself as a young, much younger person jumping around the bedroom. And there, Wham was one of those bands that nobody took seriously, but they were very fun.
Yeah.
And you couldn't listen to their stuff without it evoking some kind of an emotion for you. Like some of the, you know, the slower stuff was all very smooshy. And we and people have you know, memories back to the old slow set and the local
like
school
dance.
Like
some of the music ages well. Some of it is like really of an era.
Yeah,
I think.
Oh really? Oh yeah. I'm into
the early
that
rapping
era.
Stuff in particular.
Oh, that was awesome. I love that era, so I have no problem with it.
Yeah, okay.
But I just think it just makes you just think of those happy times usually in your life.
And they went to China to break America. And as I say, no spoilers in there. Watch it, enjoy the ride. It's fun. Yeah. Even if you don't like Wham. Well, it didn't really evoke any memories for me because Wham, I was too cool for Wham. Do you know?
Yeah.
And also, they were a wee bit before my time, believe it or not. It's actually really quite a nice story of two really good friends. And it sort of stops before, you know what, things go terribly wrong. All right, so all I see on social media are people dressed in pink or standing inside massive plastic doll boxes having a wonderful time seemingly going to watch Barbie. So I'm going to start with you, Michael. Yeah. You went and saw Barbie in the cinema.
I went and seen Barbie.
Saw. It's wrong, but I want you to use
that
anyway.
Word. Okay, right then. That's another franchise. We're cross-referencing another franchise, which is back for like a 10th or 11th.
I listen back sometimes, or happen to be in the car and the podcast comes on, and I blatantly use wrong tenses.
Oh, yeah.
And words. And I know why I'm doing it, but I still do it.
For me, it's the blog. When I go back on old, like I might go back on old Avengers reviews, and I'll see sentences that I put up, because I just write a rough draft, put it up, and then I'm like, oh my God, I'm rewriting things from like 2 years ago, because they're completely wrong English. Like, so anyway, Barbie is a fantastic film. It's definitely one of the best fantasy films I've ever seen. Wow. It's hilarious. It met my expectations going in, and it exceeded my expectations. I had seen this director, Greta Gerwig, do Little Women back in 2018-19, and I loved that movie. It was my first time to see that that material dealt with, and I loved her take on it and what she did with that story, and I loved her casting. So Barbie it's so much fun. It's a fantasy film that pulls off a really difficult balancing act. It creates this reality where there's the real world and the Barbie world. Characters cross over and back. Greta puts forward the rules for how this happens. She does it quite cheekily. She explains it a couple of times, and then one of the characters is like, yeah, don't think about it too much. And she gets away with so much stuff by just going with it. She tells a very interesting story. It's not so much a fish out of water story like Elf. There's about 5 or 10 minutes in the film like that, where Barbie and Ken get arrested twice in LA on their first day and stuff like that. But there's actually a lot more to the movie, and they go back to Barbie where a lot more happens. It's really smart, and it's obvious that as well as
anti-men.
No. It's
pro. You have to be a bit sensitive, would you, to feel?
Feel like it's very pro women. But I don't think that necessarily also means it's, you know, it doesn't, one doesn't mean the other, as far as I'm concerned. So that's controversial.
Just love nowadays where we've got to a point where there's a film about a plastic doll.
Yes.
And it turns into a conversation piece on Fox News and CNN. Yes. And I'm like, lads, you know, just watch.
Some of the reviews on Letterboxd are like, this is, you know, it's an attack on men and the feminist agenda.
How vulnerable would you have to feel as a man to be threatened by a film?
The feminist agenda will kill us all. That's one of the reviews. The feminist agenda will kill us all is one of the reviews.
But you know, Fanoo is very capable of coming in now and saying this film is anti-man and women need to get back into the kitchen or something. Yeah. I know you would never say that, but you just, you know.
No, I would say it if I thought it. But
exactly. Me and you are being like, you know, woke.
Yeah, absolutely. Or desperately,
I find it hard to get offended because I don't feel it.
Yeah, I wasn't offended in the slightest. Yeah.
But Fanula, sorry, your assessment. Well, start with the film itself and then maybe the commentary.
To be honest, I was Michael and I went to see the movie and I was really looking forward to it. And he absolutely loved it and I didn't think he'd really get it. And I liked it, but I wouldn't say that I loved it.
No, he didn't at all.
Like, as Michael said, he found the kind of whole fantasy idea. But to be honest, not for myself now, because I'm kind of a little bit too old for when Barbie arrived to us. But I have a load of sisters, as anybody knows. So there was always Barbie stuff in our house. And there was a Barbie house and a Barbie dream car and a Barbie this and a Barbie that. So, and lots of nieces and even nephews that played with it along the way. So there's always been kind of Barbie's always been there with all the Barbie's bits and pieces.
And I benefited, Greg, from that. You know how Fionnuala always has to say one thing during every film? Well, the one thing during this film was when Fionnuala leaned over and said, there's never any stairs in a Barbie house.
I know.
I didn't know that.
Now, her attention to detail in it is amazing. It's just like that. There's never any stairs in a Barbie house. Barbie just miraculously moves from thing to thing. Because the way she moves is when you're playing with her. And that's mm-hmm. the way it is when you're playing with her. There's Barbie can't go up and downstairs. She has no knees. So it's part of the...
She also can't walk. I mean, where does this end? she's got no internal digestive system.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But the thing, the movie I thought was very fun. It was a bit more... I suppose it was a bit more serious than I thought it was going to be. It was trying to make a point.
Was it preachy?
It wasn't that it was preachy. It was just...
What was the point he was trying to make?
You see, this is what I'm not 100% sure. Like, it was, you know, it started off and it was like the idea is that Barbie thinks that everywhere in the world, everything in the real world is fabulous because Barbie has made it fabulous. Because there's a Barbie doctor and a Barbie vet and a Barbie physicist and a Barbie space, you know, astronaut. So therefore, that means that in the real world, women are doing all these things and women are in charge. And then obviously she goes to the real world and it's a... quick awakening.
Matriarchy.
It's a quick awakening that is not quite the way the world is. But then what they've done with it then is they've kind of gone to the extremes of patriarchy then as well. You know that kind of way? So they've sort of gone to the extremes, to my mind anyways, in both ends. Mm. And that's what I kind of thought. But and then I was very fond of Ken.
Yeah, but in reality, Ryan Gosling did an amazing job. Really happen an awful lot that, you know, it's like comedians, they will go to the very extreme of a joke or what have
yes.
you.
Yes.
It's just the way it's done, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad I thought of that. That's very good.
But you know, you kind of go. I mean, yeah. it is not a social commentary. But if you're going to poke fun at the fact that, you know, where women's place in the world is, you mm-hmm. might as well go all in. Like,
yes,
you know, you might as well go all in and get the conversation.
If you're going to make a film about Barbie, you can't ignore the fact
we're talking
that
about Barbie. You see, there's an irony there. As
Barbie
well,
has all well, like no, it's not. Well, it's not the first time Barbie has been the center of a discussion about feminism and the role.
100%, yeah.
So Greta Gerwig did the right thing. I mean, by embracing the toy, she also embraced the discussion around the toy.
Yeah. You see, the thing is,
taking the movie out of the whole even sociological discussion of it. You know, I got very fond of Ken.
You've said that again.
Yes.
I know.
That's because he looks like Ryan Reynolds.
No, he looks like he's Ryan Gosling.
But he's hilarious.
The character is very fun in it.
Yeah, he's a great character.
Really feel for, well, I did anyway, you end up really feeling for Ken in it. Yeah. See, and they didn't really kind of resolve that. No, I think it could have been resolved in a more satisfactory way.
What?
And then I'm not 100% sure where this is aimed. You know, I saw a lot of people coming in and out and I'd love to hear from any listeners.
Well, it's aimed at people who love Barbie and people who hate Barbie.
I know, but if you... Like, I have a six-year-old niece now who's desperate to go, knows nothing about it, has seen a little, you know, clips on the trailers and things like that, we'll say, comes up on her YouTube feed because it is only PG-13.
Of course,
and
yeah.
the trailers are even thing. So it comes up when they're watching YouTube or anything like that. Mad to go and see it. I don't think she'd enjoy it.
But is it not like The Simpsons that she'll get from it?
I would think so. Yeah, I would think any age would get it.
Just in terms of the message of a film, mm-hmm. I think sometimes just we need to relax. And that, you know, films have always been challenging. We spoke last week or the week before about films from the 60s or 70s.
Yeah,
it was about roles of women.
Yes, we did, yes.
And then you come out of it and you have a quick chat and then you move on to the next mm-hmm. thing. I think what happens is almost instantaneously you had people... very on the right of politics mm-hmm. and on the left of politics, reviewing it and trying to talk about it, whether it was about indoctrinating people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's madness.
Yeah, but the point is, people are over analysing stuff now,
oh yeah,
right, and that time, everything yeah. is about trying to convince us resistance is
and putting it in the context of their political views.
Yeah, trust people, right, to make up their own minds. Mm-hmm. Give people the information. Watch a film. Have a bit of banter or crack on the steps, but after that, you're talking about where do you prefer to get your chicken from or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, rather than trying to shove this into a really boring, oppressive conversation that seems to have to be had at every turn.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's a lot of that.
All
yeah,
done
yeah,
with
agree,
the Little
yeah.
Mermaid and everything that comes out of Disney and stuff like that. You're just like, for God's sake, it's just a movie.
Let's... Chill out.
And it is beautifully shot.
If you worry about people, fabulous. Very relax faithful and to let them enjoy stuff. It's pink. It's fluffy.
Mm-hmm. It's very faithful to Barbie, and it is very, you know, and it is beautifully shot and that kind of thing. There's a lot of very funny moments in it. There's some, you know, some really fun scenes and that kind of thing in it. I don't know what it was. I don't know whether my expectation was too high for it. That I just, you know, the way that I was just like, oh my God, this is going to blow me away.
It's
going to be
you're
amazing.
A little bit like me. That depends on when you walk up the steps to the cinema, what kind of
mood you're in. Yeah.
Because I know what really like that.
You were, I know, yeah, but possibly too much. I was looking forward to it.
Maybe I was too.
I was looking forward to it as well.
I was excited about it.
Yeah, but you didn't like her Little Women film.
No.
No, you see.
But I'm a purist when it comes to Little Women.
It's
right,
the Claire Danes
so
version.
Let's get down to numbers, because I don't think it matters. Everyone's going to go and see this who wants to go and see, and we're not going to convince a cinema who doesn't
absolutely,
want to
see it. Yeah. It's definitely
worth going to see. Oh,
you'll definitely enjoy it.
They're
going to,
yeah,
exactly. And then enjoy it.
So, go with your friends, go and have it. And get, have a good
because
time
it accomplishes so much, and it could have gone so horrendously wrong, I'm absolutely giving it 10 out of 10.
Wowzers. Okay. It's a perfect film.
Yes.
I know.
One of the best fantasy films I've ever seen.
He kept saying that to me.
He loved it.
I don't get it.
He's all in, isn't he?
He is all in. He's gone full pink. As I said, I don't know what it was. There was just something about it that just didn't hit the right note or something.
7.5?
I'd probably just put it somewhere in along that, particularly when we talk about the other movie that we saw at the weekend.
Which we're going to talk about after the break. Yeah. And we'll go into the break with a bit of Barbie.
Hey, Barbie. Can I come to your house tonight?
Sure. I don't have anything big planned, just a giant blowout party with all the Barbies and planned choreography and a bespoke song. You should stop by.
So cool. You can find me under
the
lights,
diamonds under my eyes. The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Country Sundays continue at the Clanry Hotel this weekend, featuring Patrick Feeney and his band. Admission €15, doors open 8:30, dancing 9 till 11. Coming Sunday the 27th of August, it's Michael English. Overnight packages available, ticket, bed and breakfast for just €70 per person sharing. The Clanry Hotel, Letterkenny, 91243 69.
Get quality cuts for quality value at Lidl. Like our Board B approved Irish strip loin steak was $3.99, now $3.49. Sweeten the deal with this honeydew melon was $2.29, now 99 cents. Get ahead with Budweiser 15 pack, now $15.27. Go on, shop without compromise. Go full Lidl today. Get the facts, be drink aware, visit drinkaware.ie.
Hi, it's Claire here from Claire Clothing. Our summer sale has started. I have loads of discounts off dresses, tops, trousers, all of the summer stock. So we'll see you at our summer sale in Clare Clothing, Main Street, Letterkenny.
Time is ticking on the hottest sale of the year at Easy Living Furniture. The spectacular summer sale must end this Sunday. With absolutely everything reduced, unbeatable offers and 0% finance available, now is the perfect time to invest in comfort and style. Transform your home today. Our dedicated team are here to help. So visit Easy Living Furniture, Crescent Link Retail Park. The spectacular summer sale must end this Sunday.
Highland Radio time checks with Expressway. Travel Route 32 from Letterkenny to Dublin. When you book online and travel for less. Expressway, bringing you the time at...
The time is 22 minutes past 11. So the other big release over the last week or so has been Oppenheimer. And that was also in the cinema. And that also drew the attention of Michael Leddy and Fionnuala Rabbit. So... much was said about this before you said it, about you know people's reviews and about the story being a bit convoluted and all this kind of stuff. So I'm fascinated to hear what normal people believe of this. Unfortunately, none are available today.
I was waiting for that. I knew well.
Fionnuala, Oppenheimer.
Now, this is a movie I absolutely loved. And I went into it with a bit of trepidation because I'm not a big fan of... the director, I realised, when I started to look at some of the movies that he made, I'm like, no, I still haven't fully forgiven him for the, if you remember, the first one back from COVID was his.
Tenet.
Oh, dear God, why?
I feel like I deserve compensation.
Well, I was mentally assaulted after that movie. It was really too much for me. So that was kind of putting me off a little bit. And much as I think that Cillian Murphy is an amazing actor, I've seen him on stage so many times and loved him on stage. I was not really a big Cillian Murphy fan because he really works at a high level of intensity. Everything is really intense with him anything I've seen him in. And he was unbelievable. Mm. I pity the fool that goes up against him in the Oscars. It'll be an unbelievable movie or performance that would take an Oscar away from Cillian Murphy based on this Oppenheimer. He was unreal.
So
he
the
must
story,
be in 90% of it.
So a quick overview of the story then.
So the story is not really, I think, what people perceived, or at least it wasn't what I picked up from trailers. The trailers and things kind of say to you that it's the story of, you know, the godfather of the bomb and all this kind of thing, which made you kind of think that it was more going to be a bit more Manhattan Project. That is the group of people that came and went to Los Alamos in order to create the bomb. It's really more about Oppenheimer's life and after that. There is obviously large chunks of it because that was a major part of his life, but it's really about his whole life and very much so then after the bomb was created and a lot of things that happened to him at that point. I don't want to be spoiling it for
people.
Yeah,
I got you, yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. I thought there was an awful lot of, there's an amazing set of characters in it. People pop up for like 30 seconds in this movie and you're like, oh my God, how did they get them to do, like, Rami Malek is in it at one point and he's like, he's in three scenes in which he doesn't even speak. Mm. And I'm like, how is Rami Malek in a movie which he's literally a character standing behind another character? Yeah. And it's just, you know, there's amazing things in it. I can't think of his name now. The guy that plays the president in it, Gary Oldman, he's in it. You wouldn't even recognise him in it. Mm. Like, so there's loads of different people that pop up all the way through it and all of the performances are just amazing.
Robert Downey Jr. Is amazing.
Robert Downey Jr. is fantastic in it. He plays a senator. Oh, actually, Strauss, the guy that wants to become a senator. And so it's basically, it's more about the political machinations and that kind of thing that went on in or around that time. I really enjoyed it. I absolutely loved it. The only thing I would say in its negative is it reminded me very much of the Baz Luhrmann Elvis that was out last year. That movie started off very Baz Luhrmann. You knew it was Baz Luhrmann's movie. He like inserted himself into it to the point that you knew it was him. This movie starts off as well and you're kind of like, oh, why? I'm nearly sorry, even though I know Christopher Nolan is a great director before people get excited, but why he was the one that had to do this movie. Because he that makes it complicated rather than, I had read up about it, and anybody that's interested in this and doesn't feel that they should do 3 hours in the cinema, there's a great documentary on Sky, The War to End All Wars, which kind of gives you some of the history of Oppenheimer and
now,
things
again,
that went on around that
some
time.
People are saying that this does not feature the story or any even people of the race of which this bomb was dropped on. We know it was.
Mm-hmm.
And
this, oh, yeah,
and it doesn't, the people that were displaced for them to move in and develop it, that they're not represented in this film again. Again, mm-hmm. Is that people just trying to make some sort of a political statement about a Hollywood film?
I think so, because two things. They're 100% right. That's exactly, they are not. Well, the people
the
that...
The story's not about them.
But yeah. Exactly, and the story's not really even about the bomb. It's more about Oppenheimer and his relationships and how, without spoiling it, it's very difficult to kind of give you the full thing, but that's really what it's about. It's about Oppenheimer, his relationships. It's about the American political system.
Yes.
And the kind of American thinking on the... Because really what this did was not just, obviously, the terrible tragedy for people in Japan, but it also was that it started the arms race. Mm. You know, it could be said to have started the Cold War. It's what kind of suddenly there was all this, oh, well, the Russians are this and the Russians are that. You know, there's
but
a lot
there,
of that conversation.
Further conversations, which I find slightly more interesting, is that if things... say, for instance, we knew now that this weapon was available and it wasn't dropped, and then obviously everything, you know, what direction conflict would have taken thereafter, how would history reflect on the decision not to drop it, not which I actually really feels really quite
the thing is about this is hindsight is 2020 as well. Like at the time that this scientific discovery, the splitting of the atom happened and they realised that there was a possibility to make some kind of a weapon with it, it was then left to one side. Then the war happened. There were people within, you know, under Hitler's control that were working on this, and what would have happened
if they hadn't done it?
You know, now further down the road, obviously it's a different whether they should have actually dropped the bomb when they did, because the war was coming to an end and there was a lot of stuff in it, and all of that is kind of covered in it, mm-hmm. and there's sort of a discussion about what, who thought what when, and that kind of thing. But it's more really about a bigger idea of it, and I think that. The only thing I would say about it is the way that Christopher Nolan has done it, you need to kind of stick with it. Because when it starts off in the beginning, you're kind of going to be, I don't understand what this is about. I don't understand what's happening here. Mm-hmm. But it kind of comes full circle in the end, unless, like me, you've you know, watched a bit of documentary, you've
kind
done a little bit of...
Kind of but you know where it's going.
Yeah, that you have an idea where it's going. Otherwise, you're kind of going, I don't understand why this character is even involved in this.
Right, Michael,
it's
your
very,
take.
It's very Christopher Nolan, and I made a joke as we were going into the cinema that with a Christopher Nolan film, he would take the script, throw the pages in the air, and then fill in them in random order. And that's essentially what the film is, because it jumps from... There was two separate hearings in the 50s, We're back in the 30s, they were in the 50s, they were in the 40s on the Manhattan Project. They were
time jumping really is not my thing.
Yeah, and that...
No, it's
it works,
much
though.
Easier.
It, okay. it works. Okay. And I have to say, I found the film to be completely clear. The narrative was clear, although there was constant time jumping. And I think a lot of that is just Cillian Murphy, who is in almost every scene. It's either Cillian Murphy or Robert Downey Jr. you're looking at. Robert Downey Jr. probably gets about a half hour on his own, and Cillian Murphy gets 2.5 hours. Mm. You're always riveted by
Cillian Murphy's eyeballs. Deserve best supporting actor because they're out on stalks in every scene.
In everything.
It's because he has the most unbelievably blue eyes.
Yeah.
Which works for Oppenheimer because Oppenheimer apparently had very blue eyes as well. But
he lost weight, I think, as well. And that accentuates a lot
bit
of his feature.
Yeah,
it looks a bit gaunter.
He's very.
But I loved it. I mean, I really loved it. I did think. My only criticism is I thought sometimes the storyteller got in the way of the story, particularly when you were dealing with the hearings, because there was, but some of it's in black and white, which keeps with the clarity. But that's a very, very minimal complaint. I found the 3 hours flew. The two lead actors were phenomenal. Mm. I loved all the support, like Matt Damon. And I was with the story.
See, I have been waiting for a big story over a big period of time. Do you know that's like a long film? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, big story, big film, big actors.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it runs long a bit.
What I mean? Yeah, well, I'd
have done another hour of this movie.
Yeah, yeah. I would have sat
on. Doing the documentary.
Yeah, I would have sat on.
Stuff that wasn't in it, because obviously you have to keep it.
And everybody was, it actually works as a thriller because there's time, even though we broadly know the story, when it comes times, like there's a big countdown and a big and everything goes really quiet. And we were in an absolutely packed cinema. There wasn't a free seat. And when the movie goes quiet, it goes quiet for maybe 25, 30 seconds. And there wasn't not a crisp.
As the drama.
Everybody was like, just, embraced.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought it was an amazing film.
And funny, these two films have been Barbies, which we talked about earlier, and Oppenheimer, and yet they're so different.
Completely,
brilliant bit of marketing here.
It's a great bit of marketing.
So I'll start with you on the 10s then. What would you give it out of 10?
Because I said the thing about the storyteller getting in the way, I'm going to be very fussy and give it like 9.5 out of 10.
Someone like me who doesn't really know his work. I've already forgotten his name, who directed it.
Nolan, yeah.
So who won't see as the storyteller getting in the way of the story, because I don't really know enough about him or whatever. Yeah. How does that play to me?
I think you will enjoy this, because I think the hook of what's happening will pull you in, Greg. Mm. I think you'll be interested in the story of the man and the bomb.
I think there's a lot of... Yeah, I think that's what's going to fail it. And not fail it in a way that people won't enjoy it, but... You could end up sitting there that for the first hour of the movie, you're like, dear God, why am I here?
Really? Okay.
But
if it pays off,
the acting
though,
and it will pay off in the end. Okay. And you kind of, but you know, like if you're sitting in a movie and for the first half hour, 3/4 of an hour, you're not really like, what is this going on? And you know, you've got another 2 hours in front of you. it can kind of put you on the back foot. You know the way
you have
going
to stick with it. Then so that's
you really
key.
Have to stick with it. Stick to be honest, like by the time I got up and walked out of it, I would have watched another hour of it.
Yes,
it just the acting, the
I would have sat on. Yeah, I would have just kept going.
And
yeah.
he does once it starts making sense. You know, as in once
it
the kind of chopping
together,
and you, because what happens is that it starts at a place that is not the beginning. Mm. And that's what Christopher Nolan kind of does.
Yes,
and so then you kind of have to give it a chance to catch up to where that is.
And you referred to Elvis, and I would say what I didn't like about Elvis was the scenes were too short to get invested. And I said that at the time. Mm. But what I loved about this was the scenes were so short that you were never bored. Yeah. Like
the problem I had with Elvis, though, was that if you want to listen to Elvis music as part of an Elvis film, and they played with it too much. For
yeah, they played, yeah.
Right, okay, so what would you give out of 10, Fionnuala?
Oh, I would definitely give it the 9.5, 10.
So
I
both
really,
9.5s.
Really
yep. Okay, that's Oppenheimer. It is in cinemas right now, and I think it's going to continue very popular for the foreseeable as people work through getting to see it.
Yes.
On Barbie, a listener says, and this is why... I love the program because it's just real people. I took my grandchildren to Barbie, and lucky for me, I had my audio book, so I had a grand old time. One grandchild loved it, and the other hated it.
Yep.
So there you go. It's
that's
as
what I'd be worried is that you'd bring kids thinking it's going to be amazing. You know, thinking that, as you do with a lot of these movies, that kids can get something.
Does it tie
as well
into the maturity
adults.
Of the child?
See, I don't. I think that's the thing, and I'd be worried. Like as I said, was saying to one of my sisters about my niece, I was like, I'd be worried that she wouldn't like Barbie after it. You know, and she gets such fun and enjoyment and the whole thing. And I'm like, it could put you off it because you'd be at this movie and that they'd be bored of it. It doesn't have enough to cover the both.
Getcha. All right, interesting.
Both ends.
All right, you're welcome back to the programme. We're joined on it now by John McLaughlin, Treasurer of Mallin RNLI Fundraising Group. Good morning to you. How are you getting on, John?
Good morning, Greg. I'm good. Sunny Mallin Head, or Mallin Town here.
Always sunny in Mallin, I'm told. Right, okay, and it'll be sunny, I'm sure, this Sunday between 2 and 5pm because there's a big fundraiser, Music on the Green, or In the Green. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this is our 30th anniversary of the Mallin RNLI. It was started in 1993. To date, we have over 175,000 raised for the RNLI. So on Sunday, the 30th of July, the event will be starting at 11 a.m. with a 16 tower to town challenge, starting at Barmore's Crown to Mallin Head and finishing Mallin Town. And we also have a 5K starting at Lag at 12 p.m. And registration will take place in Mallin on Saturday from 2 to 3, and you can registration on the morning of the event as well. And there'll be a shuttle bus run from Mallin Town to take them to Mallin Head. Like, you know, you wouldn't want to block up the viewers there, sightseers at Mallin Head, so we're having a shuttle bus there run. That'll be done there. And this is sponsored by Annie's Pharmacies of Carndona, which is much appreciated.
Yeah, and important. There's a raft and kayak race at 5. The Rescue 118 helicopter is going to be about, all being well, from 7 p.m. So lots going on. And then music. There's music as well, is there, John?
Yeah, entertainment on the green will start then from 2.30 to 5 with local musicians, Typhoon Generals. And we have local dancers, Irish dancers, and local musicians. This will be a fun day for all the family. Mm. And then at 5 o'clock, the rat race will start. It'll start at Mallin Bridge and finish at the bridge. So the idea is we'll start them at the bridge, put them out around the buoy in the bay, and then the first raft under the eye of the bridge, that's the winner. And there's a lot of competition going on. There's a lot of secrecy going on around here. People are...
They haven't
even
unveiled their rafts yet. It's always good fun, that is. And sometimes, if they're made specifically for it, sometimes the more rickety to the raft, the better the fun to be had. And it's all to mark the 30th anniversary of the original, is it? The original fundraising event, isn't it? Since the first Mallin Raft race. This is the 30th Mallin Raft race, if I'm not mistaken, the 30th year of it.
Yes.
Brilliant. Okay, yeah. John, so it's a brilliant cause. We all know the fantastic work, particularly in our county, that the RNLI do right across the coast. So we hope it's a huge day for everyone and everyone has lots of fun and loads of money raised. And thank you, John, for coming on and talking to us about it. Is there anything you want to add?
I just wanted to add another one about the helicopter, which is a big thing. That'll be coming at 7 p.m. and they will do a display at the bridge as well. So that's a good thing to look out for.
Yep, fantastic. And then the especially for the younger ones.
Clean's Marquee in the afternoon, then, or in the evening time, then, with music. So a good night's entertainment and a good day's fun.
All right, well done for being part of the organising team. John, hope you can relax now and enjoy it now. All the hard work from an organising perspective is done. Before we end, by the way, we'll have a northwest weather forecast for you. Obviously, there's a yellow weather warning for rain tomorrow. At what time, we'll let you know and how bad it might be, because that was issued a couple of days ago. Maybe it's not going to be quite as severe as it might be. So stay tuned for that. We'll see what the weather is then heading into next week and into August. Don't want to fall into that old trope of saying, oh my God, I can't believe it's August already. But anyway, can't believe it's nearly August already. Here we go. Right. Okay. So we've done Barbie, Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer, both very highly regarded by our listeners, by our reviewers. Hi all, watch the first episodes of the new Taylor Sheridan drama, Special Ops Lioness. Very good watch, nice way to move on from Jack Ryan ending. Okay, which okay. I haven't finished Jack Ryan, so it hasn't ended for me just yet. Okay. Thank you so much.
And
for
Taylor
that.
Sheridan, that's the Yellowstone guy, and yeah, he everything he puts his hand to is gold.
Yeah,
Paramount Plus. That's a fantastic cast. Nicole Kidman's in it, a few others. It's in the trailers for it, but I haven't seen it yet.
All right, okay. Let me see, Michael. QAnon Anonymous. It's a podcast.
Yes.
I'm not really sure what this can of worms, but I know. Go on.
Yeah, well, I know. Yeah, it is a can of worms. But anyway, I've been chatting about podcasts and I've been getting more into podcasts recently. And I've been listening to Knowledge Fight, which is two comedians who debunk a lot of the stuff that Alec Jones has come up with. And that led me to another podcast, which has been going for the same number of years, about 6-7 years. And this is a larger team. It's not a comedic podcast. There's a lot of journalists. The guy on this, the lead guy of this team has written a lot for the Washington Post, and a lot of those people are of journalistic background. And they specifically look at the QAnon phenomenon, which is a very specific hub online for podcasts. And they have a very specific pro-Trump, pro-Russia slant. And anyone who's against Trump or Russia is a demonic, worshipping, child molesting, child trafficking, blah, 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 etc. And they just fact check. And I got into this partly because of Knowledge Fight and partly because of Sword of Freedom, because I want to see that movie and it isn't available yet to be seen on this side of the world. So I listened to 3 episodes of this podcast this week. The first one was specifically the one that looked at that movie. And looked not so much at the movie, but looked at the man the movie is based on. And
have you not really, though, found your echo chamber?
I don't know, because I feel like...
Well, how many of the facts do they go, actually, they were right about that, you know? Has that come up yet?
Very much what he says, this Tim Ballard guy, it's very difficult to say anything he says is true.
Yes.
Because a lot of what he says can be proven to be untrue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I suppose his name is Tim Ballard and that's verifiably true. So, yes, that part's true. I think it's important to know this stuff because you have people like, particularly in American politics, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's, you know, an elected official who's believing a lot of these things. And when you have a country whose elected officials believe stuff that journalists can totally debunk, but are still making decisions based on these things, I think that's something to be aware of in the political climate.
It is, of course. But then you could sort of get into the historic relationship between journalism and certain, you know, politics. And that maybe some might feel that journalism have been...
Oh, embedded politicians in the past.
And have been complicit in pushing a certain message.
But I also think that for the first time in the history of the world, a lot of misinformation exists online that I think is, well, what you say is true and there is definite proof that that has happened in the past. What's happening now is worse.
Mm.
Like, it has shaped like putting Trump in the White House, putting Brexit through, a lot of those things can be seen to have happened because of misinformation.
But then someone might say, well, do they talk about the perhaps that maybe Zelensky was put into power in
Ukraine. Well, they say that, yeah.
And that was very...
It's my pet argument.
That was very useful to the American government, and the media never really called that out. They just went along with it.
But the Americans have been doing that for a long time. The Americans have... It's not the first...
You're kind of going, well, that's all right, but I wouldn't listen to a podcast where what they say is wrong.
Well, it's a bit like...
You know what I mean?
But it's a bit like the Japan Oppenheimer situation. If the movie Oppenheimer is focused on Oppenheimer and your argument is, well, what about Japan? Then I'm going to say, yes, that's valid, but irrelevant to what this is about.
I get where you're coming from. My preferred method of finding out information is to listen to some of that information, and somewhere in between
find out,
form my own.
My response to what you said about Zelensky is, if I listen to a podcast about Tim Ballard, and it specifically deals with this, say he makes 10 claims and they debunk his 10 claims, and you say, what about Zelensky?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, what has that got to do with what you're talking about?
Because what I'm talking about is, this is what I meant by the echo chamber, because they're not going to ask that question.
Yeah.
Because you've found a space whereby, okay, they are probably sort of not only disproving what someone else thinks, but helping you to think what you think and agreeing with you. So, like, I'm not saying that as a counter argument. I just know issues like that
will
we could start talking about Americans and, you know, the fact they're okay with what's happening in Israel, but they're not.
Oh, yeah, well, they have vested interest in
you. Do you get where I'm coming from?
I get where you're coming from.
But anyway, I get you, and I fully support you. Yeah. Not that you need my endorsement podcasts, but I just like to stay out of those spaces.
I get it. I can understand why, yeah. I just think it's important sometimes to know some of the stuff.
No, I get you. I do. And I 100% get you and respect it, Fionnuala.
No, I'm kind of saying about it, because I agree both your sides. But I hate that whataboutism. It's like, what about it?
Yeah.
It's like a new thing that we suddenly say just because one thing doesn't mean you have to bring in the whole world.
Yeah.
So I understand that side of it. But I think I agree.
Yes, I get you. But what I'm on about really is that you see, if you've established a platform to debunk things that you disagree with, then what happens is you can't be selective in that.
You're
you have to bring it all in
from
and say,
an angle.
Oh, boy, what they said about this was correct. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? And then that gets the authenticity.
You're automatically coming from a side.
Sort of freedom. They talk a lot about what other groups are doing and how serious the child trafficking thing is globally. And it's not just in terms of sexual things, but also labour.
Yeah,
like
course,
for labour is a huge
primarily, probably.
Yeah, it's much bigger. It is much bigger. You're right. So they do talk about that. But if somebody, it's hard to... If somebody is just lying, it's hard to say he was right about X, Y, and Z.
Wait, and then my ultimate thing is, you know, adults, stop arguing with each other and actually work together to make sure that we can protect children as best as possible.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
I would love that.
That would be great,
you know, because talking about it while it's still happening and what might happen, you know, adults work together and make sure this doesn't happen.
But
and
there is
depoliticize the protection of children. I would love to see that.
Oh, yeah. But there is a thing of focusing on what's not. Like, I, at the moment, I'm doing a thing with Star Trek. And I'm watching six episodes.
Quite the segue.
And I'm doing...
Trying to see where this lands. Go.
Yeah. So the point is, I'm doing a thing every week. I'm watching six episodes from six Star Trek shows every weekend. Star Trek Next Gen, Star Trek DS9, Star Trek Enterprise, Star Trek Strange New Worlds, and Star Trek Lower Decks. And I'm doing reviews and I'm posting them online. And I'm getting a fair bit of traction. I probably get about 100 responses.
Brilliant.
It's great. Wow. It's great fun. I'm doing that every weekend. About 50 of the responses I'm getting every weekend without fail are, where is Star Trek Voyager? What's wrong with Star Trek Voyager? Why do you hate Star Trek Voyager? Which I'm just not picking and not including. The point I'm making is, the argument that I have put up...
Captain.
Well, I don't know what it is. Yeah, of course, yeah. So the point I'm making is, you put something out there and there is an element of the audience that'll be like, well, whatever is there, what about this other thing that you're not talking about? That's what I'm invested in.
Mm.
And Ricky Gervais makes a very good point.
Yeah, but if I wanted to go to a blog where I thought that all of Star Trek was being
covered,
blogged about, I wouldn't go to yours.
Yeah, okay, I suppose, yeah. Well, although
Voyager- also, if I hated Voyager, Well, your blog would be really, would be really right good up there because I wouldn't have to read through the crap I don't want to hear. Do you
Ricky
get where I'm coming from?
Oh, yeah. Ricky Gervais makes a good point about that too, when he does this joke about, you know, it's the social media and the way people's minds, it's like, and I probably quoted this before because I really love it, it's where somebody puts up, he says, like having a thing in a notice board in the community hall, which is like guitar lessons available. And he said, there'd be so many people ringing up and saying, what? I don't want guitar lessons. Yeah. How dare you?
Yeah.
And people come from their own thing. It's like, well, Oppenheimer doesn't mention Japan, therefore it's bad. Or in your case, as you said, and being the devil's advocate, I know what you're doing. It's like, we're like, well, they're not verifying some of the things that somebody says that's true, therefore it's wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You
know what I mean? But it's interesting. It's a great discussion point. Like, yeah. I mean, it is a great discussion point.
More interesting is, how do I get set up a fake IP address and then troll him about his hatred of Catherine Janeway?
Well, we'll be covering that topic after this quick break.
I can show you how to do that.
Yeah, so if you get an IP scrambler and a VPN and set it, anyway, okay. Sorry, we're back.
We'll be in the tagline.
Right, okay. So what do you want to talk about from your list here? The Amazon, Netflix, Disney, Channel 4, whichever you prefer.
No, well, I will mention this Deadlock because it took me a
this
little while.
This is on Amazon.
This is on Amazon. So I was kind of looking for something to watch over the weekend, and this thing came up, and it was a detective thing. And I'm looking for a new detective series to be following because all of my detective series are slowly being weaned
out. What's
up,
your best one?
They're really good. Oh, well, I love a good... I used to love, like... sorry. I loved Vera. I also loved I can't even think of the name of it now.
It's fine.
The one after Morse.
The ones you're on about.
The one that came after Morse, the guy...
Anyways,
Lewis. That's Lewis. Thank you. Would not come into my head. So I love
those. Hudson and Rex.
I love those.
Hudson and Rex.
I've missed Hudson and Rex. The fifth series started, and I missed the beginning of it. I have to go back and watch it all. But I do love a good detective thing. I love something that's strong detective. So this thing came up, and I said, "Oh, I haven't seen this." And basically, it was about two female detectives in Australia. Now, I don't know what goes on in Australia, and I have never been, so I do not want to insult anybody that comes from Australia, but. Is everybody daft down there? Because based on their TV programs...
How could that be seen as an insult?
But based on their TV programs that come over here, at least the ones I've seen, everybody seems a bit daft. You know, like, they always seem to have, like, these little villages, and half the people are what most people would call a little bit off. Mm. So this is set in, like, Transylvania or somewhere like that. It just happens to be on the island. And they're in this small little village. A large group of ladies have moved there, and suddenly kind of the local people are being displaced, and they've all these people living there who are all, as we would call them, blow-ins and all this kind of thing. And they're changing the town, and they're changing the way everything is. The majority of these ladies are lesbians, and they're in couples. So this has kind of become like the place for people to move to have a country lifestyle and live I said open and free and that kind of thing. And all of a sudden then this body shows up, and the detective, the police sergeant that's there is considered to be overwhelmed by her superiors. So then an outside detective is brought in, which is another woman. So I started watching this. In the beginning, I was like, I don't know why I'm watching this, because I kind of just picked it up. And now it's kind of a bit crude, and it's a lot of language in it, and that again... Sometimes you find that with some of the Australian stuff that comes here. I will say that because, I mean, the Sullivans, everybody was very...
Yeah, so you've been... What we're seemingly routinely exposed to, yeah.
This is what seems to be coming over that way. So it's... But I have to say, it is... there's about 8 episodes in it, and by the end of it, I absolutely adored it.
Wow.
And I stuck with it I did find it very crude, and the language was a bit harsh for me in the beginning, but the mystery was interesting. So that was kind of what was bringing me back. But by the end of it then, I really kind of got into the characters, because you actually started learning a little bit more about them, a little bit more about their lives. You know, the daftness of it kind of becomes a bit more normal as you're going on and that kind of thing. You know, like, these are the kind of thing now where there's a guy walking down the road walking his donkey of an evening. You know, that kind of like, not any...
And is it Colin Farrell?
No, it's not going far. And it's just very kind of, it's very kind of whimsical, but yet
but it's funny, but there is a proper mystery
there is,
in
here. It's advertised as a comedy detective, kind of comedy drama thing. And I actually say, I have to say, by the end of it, I really got into it and I really enjoyed it. I don't know anybody that was in it because they're all Australian, I'm assuming, actors and actresses. There was some discussion and things come up about, you know, native Australians and all, and the issues that are there, which is good that they kind of at least tipped their cap to it. But overall, it really was just the kind of mystery, as all of a sudden then it was like one body's found, then another body's found, and, you know, slowly and surely through it, there's half a dozen lads dead. And it just was kind of like, was fun, but yet you were kind of constantly going, oh, I wonder who did do it, which sort of kept me going with it.
So
I did, yeah. And I just thought, it's not easy to find. It's called Deadlock, D-E-A-D-L-O-C-H,
Deadlock.
All one word. It popped up at one point, just, you know, sometimes it pops up on the scrolling thing that you have.
The
I then couldn't find it because it didn't even come up in my recommendations, and I had to start searching in Amazon to find it. And but I would definitely, if somebody likes that kind of thing. Now, as I said, it is a little bit kind of...
Your granny hasn't... We haven't heard about your granny.
Granny would not be impressed.
I'm not sure whether I would watch this. I recommended it to one of my sisters and I was like, don't watch it with Mom. But it is... it actually is... The crudeness kind of fades a bit.
Kind of washes
over
you. Sometimes
with these things,
bit.
It's like as if they feel...
You just become acclimatized to it.
And sometimes you see a lot of nudity early on in a show, and then, you know, like Power was like that, or a few other shows.
There's
a lot of, and then it stops. And you wonder, well, why did you do it at the beginning?
Game of Thrones was like that. It was more excessive. Game of Thrones was more like that at the start.
Okay, well, listen... It's a hidden nugget on Amazon.
Yeah, I have to say, I really
enjoyed brilliant.
It. Yeah.
So we've had quite an interesting Barbie, both highly rated.
Yes.
Oppenheimer, both highly rated. Yep. Definitely recommend you go and watch it. You can check out that QAnon Anonymous podcast if you want to. And also, a wee nugget for you potentially on Amazon, Deadlock. It's an Australian set comedy detective show.
Yes.
Michael Letty, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Really
great
enjoy
fun.
You coming
great
on
fun. Great
and
fun.
Having a chat and great what fun. Have you and listening to what you have to say. And Fionnuala, as always, you as well. Thank you very
you.
Much indeed.
No bother at all.
Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back with you bright and early. Well, it's not really early, bright anyway, hopefully, on Monday morning from 9 o'clock. Stay tuned. John Breton's up around the northwest. But for me and the team, as I say, have a great weekend.